Okay, our next presentation is on creating a community that is healthy by design by Hillary Hansen. And Hillary is the Director of Population Health Services and the Deputy Health Officer for the local health department in Yellowstone County, Riverstone Health. She oversees various health promotion, disease prevention, and emergency preparedness programs. Ms. Hansen received her MS in Applied Statistics from the Purdue University and an MPH in Public Health Leadership from the University of North Carolina. Ms. Hansen currently serves as the president for the Montana Public Health Association. Join me in welcoming.
Thank you. So I'm changing pace a little bit from the academic world and going to tell you our story in Yellowstone County of how we got the complete streets policy passed in our community. So I have no relationships to disclose. So this is from our local paper that we got complete streets city council approval. And the way I have this presentation set up is to kind of backtrack you through our process of where this started and how we as a community started to realize that we needed to work a little more on how our community is actually built. And then tell you some of the hard lessons learned we had along the way. We were still able to get success, but it wasn't pretty all the time. So to give you a little background, I'm from Yellowstone County, which is in south central Montana. We have about 140,000 people in our county, and that is the largest county in Montana. So we are also the largest health department in Montana with about 64 staff members working on public health services. So for a lot of you, I know that seems really, really small. For us, it's huge. So to start our process, we have two hospitals in Billings. We're really seen as a medical hub, not just for that part of Montana, but for going into Wyoming and others too, because it is such a rural area to have two hospitals and have those specialty services available. We get a lot of people that travel to our area specifically for health reasons. The two local hospitals, Billings Clinic and St. Vincent Healthcare, have about 50-50 share, so they're highly competitive hospitals. And one of the very positive things that's come out of this is that we were able to form an actual alliance. There's actually a signed document between the two hospitals and our local health department, Riverstone Health, to work on some broader population health issues. And so that's been really positive, and that's what's pushed forward all this work that I'm going to talk about. So one of the first things they did was to do a community health assessment. And so many local health departments have these now, especially as accreditation is coming forward. And these are our 2006 results. And so you can see one of the very first things that we started to notice in our community is that we had a high overweight and obesity rate. And I don't know if you remember that number, it was 62.7. Now, jumping to 2011, just 5 years later, our overweight and obesity rate jumped 10% in just 5 years. So clearly we have an issue. We're well above Montana, we're above the United States, and then again we have that 10% jump, which was huge for us. And so what we did after 2006, and this has just ramped up even more since 2011, is the Alliance formed a coalition called Healthy by Design. And the idea was to create a community that is healthy by design. And it was the first time in Yellowstone County, and not totally for Montana, but we're probably on the leading end of in Montana kind of saying how we build our community affects our health and really coming to that realization. So for many of you, I may be preaching to the choir, but to go through a little background, when we started to look at our community, and this is not our community, but we started to say, how is health affected by this? How are all these components affected? And really visually was the first time I started to see it personally, and I've been there through this whole transition of doing it. And one visually is the way that our community started to understand it. And so I like to show these slides because I think even if you get it, it's a great way that you can see how we've gotten success in understanding this concept. And so when I show this slide, I point out that on the left-hand side, there's a drugstore there. And on the right-hand side, it looks like there could potentially be maybe some apartments, houses, whatever. So if you're thinking about living in this community and you want to go pick up milk, something at the pharmacy, and you say, would you cross the street? Would you walk over there? Most people would say no, and we probably all have a location like this in our community that you wouldn't do. But just by changing the design of it, you can change how people are living and having them walk more, bike more, use public transit, and make it safe for those people in cars too. Because we don't want to forget about the people in cars and their safety along with this. So we started to come to kind of the realization it's not a matter of whether our community grows, but whether how it grows. And we in Montana have started to see, we saw a little bit of dip due to the economic stuff, but we've started to see huge impact from the oil boom in North Dakota. And so especially in Yellowstone County, we have a ton of people accessing services, a ton of people living or moving to Billings to actually live there and then work in North Dakota. And so we're at this ripe opportunity for saying our community is continuing to grow when many across the United States aren't. And we need to be proactive in how we grow. And these are actually pictures from Billings and show that we have a little bit of the good and the bad. You can see the sidewalk that just ends. So imagine you're pushing a stroller or you're in a wheelchair or whatever it is. And it's not feasible on some of our roads to do that. But we do have some areas where we've started to recognize the importance of sidewalks, bike lanes, etc. But the thing we were really seeing is that that's not consistent across our community. It's really project by project, whoever's in charge, however that comes forward, wherever the money comes from, that some of those pieces might come into play. So specifically when we looked at our community health assessment and talking about how our community is built, we focused on the measure of lack of leisure time physical activity. So you can see this is lack of leisure time physical activity in the past month. So we have 22% of our community are saying they've done nothing, nothing at all in 1 month for leisure time physical activity. And that's really a huge rate when you look at it like that. And then you can see that we have some specific groups where it's really become an issue, specifically women and seniors. In addition, we did a survey, the city council actually did the survey, a resident survey to see how people felt about different aspects of our community. And you can see really all in all, these are pretty low numbers of how people feel we do in excellent or good in terms of other modes of transportation in our community. So we started talking about the concept of complete streets. Is everyone here familiar with complete streets? Yes, anyone know? Okay, so basically complete streets, you can see the actual definition here, but the way I like to say it is, when we're building roads or refurbishing roads, we consider all modes of transportation. So biking, walking, in a wheelchair, on public transit, and in a car. So all those modes need to be able to safely get wherever they go. And data is really starting to show that if we build our community that way, people utilize those different modes of transportation, which is changing their health because it's increasing their level of physical activity. This is one of my favorite pictures to show, and this is Billings in 1915. And the reason I like to show it is because sometimes when I talk about complete streets, people look at me as the crazy public health person who has this newfangled idea. And guess what? It's not a newfangled idea. We used to have complete streets back in the day. So you can see from this picture, we have people walking on bikes. We have horses. Maybe we're not going to go quite that far back, but there's a trolley of some kind, a rail trolley. There's cars. And so we used to really have this multimodal transportation, but we've changed the design of our community, particularly in Montana. We've changed it where we're very, very car-centric. So we need to look at that. So what are the benefits of Complete Streets? And I'm not going to go over all of these, but for us, these were really our selling points for the idea of Complete Streets. Of course, the health issue. We were starting this from a health component, but we got some of these other partners on board. So for economics, we looked at resale of homes. The Chamber and our Big Sky Economic Development got on board with this because they said the communities that are getting new businesses to come in are able to offer these things, this quality of life to people. Safety issues, so we looked at accident rates. Connectivity, we have a lot of really good recreational trails and other things around our community. But even if you look at those pieces, there's actually these great trails that end at a road, and to get to the next segment of this great trail that we're trying to get visitors to come to, you can't get there without getting in a car and getting to that unless you want to put your life in your own hands. And so we started to even talk about it from a visitor standpoint. If we're going to sell these amenities, we need to have it be a full system. And then, of course, overall quality of life. So one of the first pieces that happened for our coalition is we were actually awarded an ACHIEVE grant, and I don't know how many of you have heard of ACHIEVE, but it came initially from the CDC and had separate funders. And the idea behind ACHIEVE was to provide a small amount of money to coalitions across the U.S. to work on really some policy and systems change. So what can be some sustainable changes in your community? So with this small funding, what we were able to do first and foremost was we started the process of just talking about how does the built environment affect our health. We paid for some great speakers. Has anyone ever heard Mark Fenton? No. If you are trying to start this in your community, Mark Fenton is amazing to bring in, and he just energizes people and gets them to understand it. And he always says, you're paying me to be the bad guy. You're paying me to come in and show, like he goes out in your community and takes pictures, and he points these out, and you have policymakers sitting out here, and he says, look at this. What if you're in a stroller? What if you're in a wheelchair? And it really opens some eyes. So following that, we did a Complete Streets workshop with the National Complete Streets Coalition and brought in people, again, using funding from ACHIEVE, to start talking about what is a Complete Streets policy, what would it look like in our community. So really diving down to that next level. Once we had people saying, yeah, you're right, how we build our community affects it, what are we going to do about it, we said, well, how about Complete Streets? And then we worked through the phases of policy development, community education, mobilization, and the vote. So to tell you our story of some of kind of our lessons learned, one of the biggest pieces I took from other communities that were working on this is they said, we have this amazing policy. It is a great piece of paper, but that's all it is. So a lot of places have been able to get to the point of policy, but not to the point of implementation. And so we really tried from the very beginning to ensure those people who actually have to carry out the policy are at the table with us or somehow informed. And people chose different levels of involvement. Some said, just leave me on an email list, and some showed up at every meeting. So we had city council members, we had our public transportation system, we had public works, our planning department, and they actually helped us write the policy. So a lot of those implementers were the authors of the policy. It was really important to us when push came to shove, and it did come, push came to shove later on in this, that we had those champions on board, that everyone knew about it, it wasn't a secret, and they were able to help push it through. And now as we're to the step of implementation, they have a lot of ownership in this policy. And so they're actually working on the implementation phases of this, which I'll talk about in a minute. But we really, before we even took it a step further, we gathered them in a room and just basically said, is this a yes or a no in our community? Are we going forward with it? And we had made a decision as a coalition that if they said no, that we were going to step back from it and pursue some other areas. Because we really wanted to make sure this was the right time for our community and that we didn't just push it through and get it passed and these people didn't implement it when it came to that. Diversity matters, and I know when we think diversity and you think Montana, it's probably not there, but when I talk about diversity in this case, one of the things I really like to point out is I just even mean the different perspectives and points of view. So you want to make sure that you have the parents there. You want to make sure that you have people with disabilities there. You want to make sure you have the economic people on board. So you can tell this full story of how it's impacting your community. When we went before city council and presented this and people spoke on it, I had a city council member afterwards say to me that it was great to see so many members in the community involved because the only people who had ever talked about this before were the spandex-clad bikers. And it was, people need to realize this affects everyone and not just those people. And so making sure you have those people on board, and not only on board, but as a voice and visually seen by the policymakers in your community. The other piece was we had a lot of people that wanted to help. And so this was, you know, we've had coalitions. You always struggle to get them to kind of do the action items. And now all of a sudden we had broader support for this and people wanting to help. And so we really had to find a way to have those specific asks. Like, what can we get these people to do? We ran into an issue right at the last minute. This was breezing through. We thought it would be a for sure thing, and it hit major road bump. And they were looking at tabling it indefinitely. And so that was our chance to bring forward our ask of some of those people and say, contact your city council, contact your mayor. And we actually have, it's quoted in the paper, it's my favorite quote ever, a city council member who said, I have never received so many calls and emails since medical marijuana was on the agenda. I thought that is pretty good, right? So ensuring you keep those people involved enough that when you really need them, you have those asks and specific things they can do to support it. The last thing, and this may not be as important everywhere else, but for Montana it's huge, localize, localize, localize. It's great that there's people across the nation who have complete streets policies. It's great that that others have done this and implemented it and look at this, but you're your own community, and I think that's a really important message for people to get in their heads, because I love to steal examples and show examples, and so I would find myself, you know, sharing this story and saying, well, there's this great community in California that's doing this work, and they went, we're Montana, we're not California. And you, oh, okay. So you have to find your way to localize it. For me, I showed that picture already, but that was a great way to bring it back to Billings. And even when we developed our policy, we looked at a ton of other complete streets policies, and we wrote our own. I think it's a great policy. I think it's very strong. We took the best practices. We took all the recommended things, but we still ensured that city council and others understood that we wrote it for the city of Billings. And that was really big to us in the end. In terms of the next steps, after we got it passed, we wanted to make sure we were really kicking in on the implementation phase. And so we still have the group together that wrote the policy, those implementers, and we're developing what we're calling a Complete Streets report card. And it will be an annual report card looking at our all these issues, the five things that we use to sell the idea of Complete Streets. So we're looking at that data on an annual basis if it's available, or every 3 years. So some components of it will change annually, some will change every 3 years. But to really show our community and be able to say we're implementing Complete Streets. So beyond, well, we'll have the community health assessment data in safety. We're looking at things like bicycle accidents, pedestrian accidents, et cetera. For economics, we're actually looking at housing prices and some different things regarding in our community and where those pieces are going. Connectivity, so we actually have a number of areas, like I said, trails that aren't connected, and so we're going to look at the number of connectors that occur every year due to complete streets. And then just that implementation phase, so we're looking at some measures such as percentage of new roadway and percentage of to roadway with sidewalks. So as a percentage versus just saying we did 2 miles of new sidewalks this year, which is great, but if you did 90 miles of new road and only 2 miles of new sidewalks. So we're trying to put that together as a percentage so we can really see where that's going forward. So we're in the process right now of doing this, but in my mind, the most important thing even in this process is that I still have that traffic engineer who attends a meeting with me every month to talk about complete streets. So I know even until this report card comes out that he's still thinking about it and hopefully still finding ways to implement it as it goes forward. And once we're able to develop the report card, this is also going to be what's used to report out to all these committees. So we have Public Works Committee, the Planning Committee, the City Council, et cetera. The goal is that this will be an annual report to all these boards so that they'll all see how we're moving forward on complete streets. And that's it. I do have our Healthy by Design website up here, and that's the website for our coalition, and it lists, it actually has a copy of our complete streets policy and other things like that on there. So it's a great place to explore and see what we're doing. Maintaining is a huge issue, and it was discussed a lot. And some of that was because it was already being discussed in our community regarding how does maintenance happen and where is the funding for this coming from. And so our city has already started to develop a maintenance plan in terms of looking at these pieces, and so we were able to kind of roll those components in. And some of the discussion that there's no data actually backing this decision, but was even kind of talking about how if we can get people to utilize some of these, you know, bikes or other things, there's actually less maintenance needed on the road, and so that in the long term, hopefully there would be a shift of money of less maintenance you would have to do in certain areas so we can maintain some of the trails in other areas too. So some of it was just we got City Council to buy into the philosophy of it, even though knowing that there's going to need to be some maintenance pieces. Yeah. Yeah, I'm being recorded, right? So this was actually a policy for our city, and it was presented to our county commissioners as basically an FYI so that you know this is going on, and we had a county commissioner who was adamantly opposed to it and called every city council member he knew, got an interview with the newspaper, and basically what it came down to was the political view that we were doing increased policies forcing our community to build roads certain ways. And what the cost of that would be, and he had no, it didn't do anything outside of city bounds. So he officially had no vote on it or no say on it or anything. But it was really, he's from that very conservative side, where he started to kind of get on the bandwagon of less government. And so it was the philosophy, basically, of an additional policy telling us how our community would grow. Thank you.